Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
We should start just to fuck with him. Damn it, he's here. Shit. I
finished taking one. Shit.
Oh. Okay.
Well, you were like, ah, shit. And it was a nice segue into my poop. Wait, that sounds weird.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki and Jacob. How are you two doing?
Pretty good. And yourself? All right, so let's get on to the news.
Wait, isn't it?
You just took a shit. No one cares.
We know how you feel. You feel relieved.
You took a shit. You're fine. No one needs to know.
It's true. But it's one of those like things. It was one of those poops where you have to like sit back down afterwards, you know, so your beehole can readjust.
So
has anyone heard about my area in the news lately? My area made some national news lately.
I knew about it.
What happened?
Like a week and a half ago, we had a house fire in a nearby town that ended up taking the lives of like 10 people.
Jeez.
And
were they all living in the house or was there a party going on?
Lived there. I think it was like a big, I don't know all the details, but one of the first firemen on the scene, it was his house.
Oh, no.
Well, fast forward, they're doing a rally and a fundraiser in our town of Little Berwick, PA, and they're having a fundraiser. They're doing like basket raffle, shit like that, dunk tank, and some trollish little piece of shit drove into the crowd.
I heard about someone driving into a crowd thing. I didn't realize that was where you lived.
Yeah. He injured 17, killed one, and then he drove into the neighboring town, crashed his car, and beat his mother to death with a hammer.
Oh, it was his mom.
Yeah.
I didn't know that part.
Fuck's sake.
Yeah.
So, did they shoot his ass?
No, but they did arrest him. If found guilty, he can possibly face the death penalty, which he deserves.
Yes, wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm. Send children to the ICU, you deserve to burn. Fuck you. So yeah, that's my area in the news.
I mean, it's not like Berwick's really particularly known as like a great area, but yeah.
They make chips.
What?
What kind of chips?
Wise potato chips.
Oh, they're not bad.
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
I appreciate their ridges. Like
their barbecue is dope.
I like their sour cream and onion. Like hers is still the best.
Shut the fuck up about hers.
What?
I said shut the fuck up about hers. No one likes hers.
I like hers.
Never heard of that one either.
He thinks hers is like the best chip on the planet, and they're at best.
No, they are not okay at best.
Like, when it comes to sour cream and onion, I'll take Walmart over hers.
That's because you literally have no taste, because holy shit, Walmart is not a good chip.
See, I don't know any of these ones, because I don't really eat.
You don't know what chips. Walmart tastes like?
No, I don't. Tastes I don't like go brick. Around and sit on the floor and lick the floor like you do. I'm sorry.
I don't spit on the floor. I just go in there with full tongue.
Yeah, I
okay, so we got to get a box of chips together for Aki. We're going to get hers, we're going to get Wise, and we're going to get Middlesworth.
No, why are you going to send shit to Aki?
Like, Middlesworth is the best.
Again, if you guys send me any
sort of snacks... Did you just say Middlesworth is the best?
Yes, you heathen.
All right.
I will. If you guys send me snacks, I will try all of them. I do not care.
First off, I'm not sending you shit. Second.
Good. I don't want shit. I want snacks.
I mean, depending on, you know, your fetishes, shit could be a snack. I don't fucking know. But
root beer. Don't dox yourself, you idiot. Like, people know where I live. It's I've talked about my town frequently on this show over the years. It's not like I gave my home address. So
yeah, I knew what state you lived in, yeah. But that was as far down as I knew.
Maybe they meant Aki.
Oh, I ain't telling any of the viewers that.
No. Tell me, because then I'll just send you random shit in the mail.
You just said you wouldn't send her shit.
It's cool. I mean,
oh yeah.
So you need to take a stance. Are you going to send her stuff or not?
Well, no. I meant like actual shit. Like, you know, services where
you just said you wouldn't do that.
Maybe I'll do it by proxy. Like, damn.
And that's what I'm saying. You got to make a stance here. You got to take a stance.
That's still sending me it.
Yeah.
Via proxy or not, that's still sending me it.
Fine. I will send feces to Aki.
No, thank you.
No, too bad.
No.
I need your address.
No.
Why?
You very specifically no longer are getting it. Because I don't fucking trust you. I could totally picture you taking a squat over a fucking Tupperware and then sending me it. No, thank you.
Please, Aki, that's... No.
Tupperware is too high quality for him.
Okay, Gladware, whatever.
Yeah, that's a joke I was going to go for. I was going to say I'd send you with Gladware.
I mean, Gladware ain't bad. My Gladware has lasted forever.
I gotta send Brooke a care package too. She sent us a care package with some treats and candies and stuff like that. So I'm gonna send her some tasty cakes, which are awesome. And I'm going we're going to send her. They're called peanut butter candy cakes, where it's like a little little piece of cake with peanut butter on top, all wrapped in chocolate. And if you keep them in the fridge, they're amazing.
Wait, that sounds fucking delicious. Wait,
there's peanut butter on top?
On top of the cake, and then it's all covered in chocolate.
Oh, okay.
What company makes this?
It's Tasty Cake.
I've never heard of this company, but that sounds fucking delicious.
TASTYKAKE.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be KAKE. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that way
Tasty Kake.
Tasty Kake. And there goes any chance of sponsorship.
Are these the people who make moon pies?
No.
Oh, okay.
looks like I'm sending multiple care packages. I'm going to need to start bugging people for shipping. Goddamn. Should we get to news?
So what else are you sending Brooke, or is it just Tasty Cakes?
Middlesworth.
Why the fuck are you sending her Middlesworth?
Because they're good, stupid asshole.
No, they're not. Why are you shipping her complete air? You're shipping her the LaCroix of potato chips. It has the essence of flavor. Not actual flavor, just the essence of it.
And it's a fucking subpar chip. Ryan Niemiller is a fan of Middlesworth.
Yeah, well, he also is on this show, so his taste is a little
suspect. And so are you.
Yeah, exactly.
So is this a candy cake or a pie or a cupcake?
The one I'm going to be sending is the candy cake. Again, with a K.
It's delicious. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of those the cupcake things.
That helps.
Chocolate cupcake with like the white frosting in the center, and then the chocolate frosting drizzle over the top too.
Yeah, butterscotch crimpets are really good too.
I used to dig those back in college. Like that was the only time I was ever really into them. But yeah, they're good too.
Make sure to tag Tasty Cake when you do the write up, Jacob.
I'll be sure to do that,
and also like I'll sell you the name of Middlesworth. Not like that's too hard to do.
I don't know why you hate Middlesworth. They're just so goddamn good.
I have had Tasty Cake before. I've had their apple pies before.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, their little like glazed hand ones. Pies. Oh, I fucking love those.
Okay, so Brooke is getting Middlesworth and Tasty Cake. Aki is getting hers, Middlesworth, and Wise.
Sure. You're
gonna have to figure this shit out.
You should probably also send her some Utz too.
The hell's an Utz?
Do we have to?
I mean, if you're going to send her, like, a broad bouquet of, like, crappy Pennsylvania chips, I mean, we should include Utz.
Yeah, I guess so.
The irony is you're sending this to someone who doesn't regularly eat potato chips. I eat tortilla chips.
Until now.
I guess this is true, because whatever size bag you send, I'm going to have to eat the whole thing. I live alone, so...
Oh, if only they still sold the Weekenders in the big ass tubs.
Oh, thank fuck.
What do you mean, the box? The box of Middlesworth chips?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Thank fuck they don't, because Jesus, it'd be too much to eat. Holy shit.
Thank fuck they don't, because it was a waste of trees and cardboard. And then also,
this is how this podcast ends, with the two of you getting a fight and never working together again.
Oh, no, not the you're talking about the bulk ones. I'm talking about the old ones that were in like the round cylinder type of container. Like they were old.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen those before.
You're talking about the $3 bulk bags that you can get on their website for $25. 3 pounds of chips for $25.
I'll send you 3 pounds of my own chips for
no,
less
thank
than
you.
That.
Ew.
I'll even dry them out in the sun for you.
No one cares. Should we get to news?
Sure, I was talking about poop, Joe.
No one cares. Should we get to news?
Rude.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Embracer Group went on another buying spree.
I guess you could say they embraced a lot of companies.
Yeah, they picked up among the pickups were Tuxedo Labs, Singtrix, Tripwire Interactive, Limited Run Games as a company.
That was surprising.
Yeah, they just bought all of Limited Run Games. So I wonder how other console or like how other companies are going to feel working with Embracer Group on titles like that. Like, I wonder if they're going to have any issues now, if it's going to be harder to secure.
I'm wondering if it's related to Embracer Group's like their whole like games video game archive project.
Maybe.
Like, because they could just have Limited Run like start doing physical re-releases of all these kind of games. I don't know.
Who knows? They also picked up The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit full IP.
Yep.
Which, all I know is that Golem game better still be coming out, or I'll be pissed.
It is. They've said that they're going to work with everyone who currently
on their existing contracts and shit.
Right?
Fuck, because I've been looking forward to that game ever since I heard it was a stealth game.
Yeah, and then they also acquired a company, quote, in the PC console market that will be Embracer's third or fourth largest acquisition, but the company won't reveal who it is at this time.
What?
They're buying someone else, but they're not saying who yet.
And it's going to be like their third or fourth business.
It's going to be
transaction.
A big
one.
Yeah.
Jeez. Wouldn't that be funny if they bought it, EA? Or Ubisoft.
EA was the first thing I thought of, but I was like, no.
Some people are spitballing that maybe they're eyeing up Devolver. I don't know if Devolver would want to like ruin their unhinged crazy image, which might happen if they get owners. So I don't know.
100% would.
It's fun to speculate though.
Yeah. I have no idea who they'd
are. The SML podcast is not part of Embracer?
Yes.
I don't know. Shit. I don't know. I may have signed something a while ago. I can't.
No.
I haven't been paid, so no.
We all would have been replaced with attractive people who actually know what they're doing.
I mean, they would have just gotten me a gym trainer, but sure. I wouldn't want to.
I'm a handsome fellow when I shave my head. I look pretty decent. Fat, but I'm handsome.
I mean, you're pretty decent looking if you squint.
Oh, come on now. He ain't that bad looking. He is perfectly fine.
I'm decent. Yeah.
Yeah.
THQ Nordic.
Like, I'm like, oh yes, you're so sexy. That's just not gonna happen.
I'd fuck Joe after 24 Keystone Lights.
There's not enough alcohol in the world.
Well,
I guess
Joe.
I guess there is, because eventually I would die, and then in which case, I mean,
no, I'm good. not into corpse fucking. Sorry.
Okay, then there's
the
no
monetization for this
world.
Episode.
Yep, you're welcome.
Sorry, Aki, you're far too old for Joe's tastes.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh come on, that was a good one.
Ashley's only like 7 years younger. It's nothing insane.
And I think I'm younger than that, I think.
I didn't even think about age difference between you two.
Huh. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I don't know. My wife's older than me.
Going for the cougars? Going for the
milfs? Yeah, the older ladies. The older ladies.
Nice.
My fingers are the same age as me, so...
What? THQ Nordic had a 2022 showcase where they announced a whole bunch of shit. Alone in the Dark was announced for Series X and S, PS5, and PC.
Oh, Alone in the Dark. That's Aki right now.
I'm not in the dark. There's plenty of lights on.
Well, okay.
Jacob has the face for a podcast. Yeah.
Exactly. It's why you guys never see me on Twitch.
I'm kind of looking forward to this Alone in the Dark game. I've never played any of them.
Yeah, I'm excited for it to come back. I'm hoping that this time it just, you know,
is good.
Doesn't suck. Yeah.
Well, even if it sucks, I'll still play it. I don't mind if we can I'll play it.
Yeah.
Same here. They showed a video for Destroy All Humans 2. That's coming out just, you know, next week, I think, or 2 weeks. Nearly here.
I'm kind of excited for that because
now is that
really
coming to Game Pass
one.
As well or no?
No.
Oh.
I don't think any of these are coming to Game Pass.
I thought the last Destroy All Humans did.
Not at launch.
Oh, okay. I thought it had. All right. Never mind. No.
If we can get Destroy All Humans 2, I will play it. I really liked the first one. It was fun.
Well, I doubt we'll get it, but Space for Sale is coming to PC, which is an open planetary build-up sim.
Yeah, that was weird looking.
Yeah. They announced a remake of Gothic 1 for the series PS5 and PC.
There's going to be a lot of happy people about that.
Jacob, any thoughts?
None currently.
Didn't think so. Jagged Alliance 3 was announced for the PC. It's a tactical combat with strategic battles. I know I think the second one is on Xbox. It is.
Like, every once in a while, like, I want to buy it, but then, like, I remind myself that it's, like, a tactical, like, I think it's, like, turn-based, isn't it?
I think so.
Or some shit. Yeah, it's, like, then I read the description, and I'm like, oh, yeah, never mind. I don't really like these kind of games. Yeah.
I want to try getting into it. I think Ian really liked it, if I'm remembering.
Yeah,
properly.
I've heard good things about it. It's just, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah. They announced The Valiant, a new tactical RPS or RTS RPG, which is coming to PC. So there's some more strategy for y'alls.
Tempest. An RTS RPG?
Yes.
So like Brutal Legend or something?
I don't, they showed like a brief trailer and said it's a tactical RTS RPG. Just going off of what I'm being told here.
And it probably has RPG mechanics
with the tactical RTS actual gameplay. Maybe the tactics stuff in Brutal Legend, but I don't think it's an open world action game.
Gotcha.
I think it's just going to be a standard RTS type game because it looks like, you know, you're playing as a bunch of knights taking down castles and shit. It's just your standard RTS type game, medieval one, just with RPG mechanics, I assume.
Probably. If you're looking for classic real-time strategy, Tempest Rising was announced for the PC. I don't know what they mean by classic real-time strategy, but that's what they called it, and it's coming in 2023. So we'll find out more about it then. More simulation strategy with Knights of Honor 2 Sovereign for the PC, so that's coming. A lot of strategy and simulation from THQ Nordic. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Good. Yeah.
The reason why they said like they're going, like why they're doubling down so hard on it? Or
I don't know. I think it's just how they grouped everything together in the presentation that way. I don't know what they're thinking, but they must do well enough that they keep doing it. Outcast 2, A New Beginning was revealed.
That seemed like that could be kind of interesting. I don't really know fully what kind of game this is, but it looked like it could be cool if it's, you know, an FPS or something.
I think it was a third-person shoot. If I'm trying to remember the original Outcast, I want to say it was like Mass Effect Lite.
Oh, I would totally be into that then. Shit.
But good. Like not as involved or like RPG heavy, just like style wise.
Mm.
Yeah. After that, they announced a game that has my attention called Recreation. It was announced for Xbox One, Series, PS4, PS5, and the PC. It is an open-world race sandbox from Three Fields Entertainment, where basically you create everything, and then you race on it.
Yeah, that is totally a U game.
Carnage. Yeah. Carnage was excited for this one, too. This one looks really fun.
All Carnage is going to do is make tracks that look like Trials tracks, and that's all he wants, and I know it.
He's gonna make a straight track just to get an achievement for submitting a track.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah, Famicorps is keeping an eye on that one from the devs of Burnout. Yep, Three Fields. So I'm excited to see what they do. Now that they have like a THQ budget behind them and they're not all indie, we'll see what they do. So they had a video for Way of the Hunter, which just released for the Series, PS5, and PC, which we'll be talking about later on in this episode. So, okay. Jacob, any thoughts on it?
I mean, I watched the trailer for it because initially you had asked if I was, you know, if I wanted to do it. And it's not exactly my cup of tea, but I mean, it looks impressive. So hopefully, you know, it lives up to what it looked like.
We'll find out. They showed a video for AEW Fight Forever, coming to Xbox One, Series, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC. It will be playable at Gamescom. So if you are somehow at Gamescom, attending Gamescom, I don't even remember when it was. Did it happen already?
I don't think so.
No, because Xbox has something going on at Gamescom, and I'm sure we'll have some news from that.
Gamescom is next week.
There we go. AEW Fight Forever will be playable there. It looks decent. I'm waiting to see more. I want to see more of the mechanics. The models looked okay. The action looks all right. I don't want to get my hopes up about a wrestling game.
All the comments that I've seen about it, everyone seems like a little wary of it. Like, so hopefully, with it being playable soon, then, you know, people's fears can be put to rest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They showed off a video for Stuntfest World Tour, which is basically the sequel to Wreckfest. This one, you're going to switch between driving, stunt ragdolling, and flying.
Okay, I mean, like, I get, like, two of them, but how is flying going to work in that?
You would eject from a car, ragdoll around, and, like, transform into a glider. It looks bonkers.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I'm waiting to see more. It's another one where I'm optimistic about it, but I don't know how it's going to be. So.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a lot of the shit that I used to pull off in, like, Just Cause. Like, yeah. From how you're describing that.
Let's see. SpongeBob the Cosmic Shake was announced. Ooh. New SpongeBob game.
Exciting.
And then they wrapped up the conference by showing off that, not including handy games, THQ has 43 games in development with 26 still unannounced. And then you heard Randy Marsh. And it cut to a South Park Studios logo, and they scribbled the number to 25. So there's a new South Park game coming.
From THQ?
Yeah.
Huh. I thought they were going to stick with Ubisoft for South Park games.
I don't know, but they're doing something with THQ.
Okay.
Yeah. You mentioned Game Pass earlier. A lot of games coming to Game Pass. Isn't it crazy that Game Pass is the third biggest news of the week after Embracer Group and THQ Nordic were finally getting to the Game Pass lineup?
Usually that's first.
I know. There we go. That's the kind of week it's been. But available now, we got Coffee Talk.
Nice.
Cool. I like that one.
That's a great game, yeah.
August 23rd, we're going to be getting Midnight Fight Express.
Wait, did you just hear that? Aki and I agreed on something.
I'm trying to ignore it because it means the world is ending.
Oh, yeah. Right, that's fair. Sorry.
August 25th, PC is getting Exapunks, and then console and PC is getting Opus Echo of Star Song Full Bloom Edition.
I don't know anything about that game.
That sounds like an Aki game. Echo of Star Song. Let's look this fucker up. It's a visual novel. Yeah, it's an Aki game.
Oh, and the graphics from what I'm seeing on the launch trailer looks pretty.
Echo of Starsung is a visual novel style adventure game. There you go.
Oh yeah, this is totally for me.
Yeah. So guess I'm sending an email later.
Cool too. Yeah.
August 30th, a couple more games are joining Game Pass with Commandos 3 HD Remaster, which is a day one launch.
Cool.
Immortality, which is a day one launch to cloud, PC, and series, not on Xbox One. So next gen only. Tinykin, which is a day one launch to console and PC. And then Immortals Phoenix Rising is joining Game Pass.
Nice.
Cool.
That's a good game.
Not all good news, though. Game's got to leave. So.
They don't have to. They could stay.
It's a bummer because there's a lot of games leaving.
Oh, no.
I think there's more leaving than are joining this time.
Oh, no.
And there's some big ones leaving.
You're hurting my feelings. Why?
Hey,
why are you doing this?
There's still 300 more games to play. You'll be fine.
Maybe.
Plus, if you want, you could buy them with a 20% discount. Thank you, Game Pass.
This is
the game's leaving at the end of the month. Elite Dangerous is leaving. This one sucks. Hades.
I still have to play it, so it's like...
Oh, you should play it before it leaves, because it is really fucking good.
I have to review a bunch of stuff.
Myst is leaving.
Oh, that's a shame. It. That's a great game.
Yep. NBA 2K22.
Oh, well. That's a shame.
Signs of the Sojourner. Spiritfarer.
Oh, shit. Spiritfarer is leaving?
Yes.
Yeah, and that'll take you a while to finish, too. So.
Shit. No, I already started it, but then, like, I didn't finish. Damn it. I'll probably just have to fucking buy it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Get that discount. 12 Minutes is leaving.
I didn't really enjoy it.
That's
a
quick little game. I did. I thought it was.
Yeah, 2 Point Hospital is leaving, which makes sense because we just got 2 Point Campus.
Yeah.
What Remains of Edith Finch is leaving. And finally, World War Z is leaving.
Oh, one of those is good.
I enjoyed What Remains of Edith Finch and World War Z. Both of those were good titles.
Yeah, there's a lot of good games leaving Game Pass. But allegedly, PC Game Pass might be getting something surprising. They've been teasing all week. Allegedly tomorrow we're going to get the reveal, but I don't know. It's just the rumor right now. But the big rumor is that PC Game Pass is getting Death Stranding.
Cool.
Yeah, I had heard that. I mean, that's really fucking awesome that it's going to happen. I'm wondering if it's only happening because Sony was bitching about Microsoft's exclusivity with stuff, and Microsoft turned around and was like, you do this stuff too.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, oh, well, we just released Death Stranding on PC, so no, we're not.
We allowed it to be released on Windows 10.
Yeah.
Because we're Sony and we're amazing. Power to the players. That's GameStop. but yeah, we'll see if Death Stranding happens or not. People have they showed like an image with a background, and people apparently found the location in Death Stranding and took a picture and shared it. So
nice.
I mean, Kojima is going to be working with Xbox on something. Maybe we'll see Kojima get enough of his way from Sony that they release Death Stranding on Xbox as well. Who knows? I mean, a lot of people thought No Man's Sky would never release on Xbox because that was heavily advertised and funded by Sony, but that showed up.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to compare it to MLB. I'm like, listen, guys, MLB's not forcing Sony to release Death Stranding anywhere. It's not the same situation at all. I don't know. Some delays to talk about. Hogwarts Legacy has officially been delayed and will release February 10th on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. Switch will get a date at a later time. So,
okay. I accept that. As long as they continue to piss off J.K. Rowling, I'm good.
I hope you get to have, like, gay romances in the game.
Not, I'm pretty sure they said you could, but you can also make trans characters. The one thing she absolutely fucking despises, and that was just the best piece of news I'd ever heard.
Some bad news. High on Life is delayed 6 weeks to December 13th.
That sucks.
That's
but,
the one
you
from
know,
Justin Roiland.
I Squanch still Games. Want it, though. I'll accept that. Yeah. It looks so good. It looks hilarious.
Another delay to talk about, not a huge one, thankfully, but Evil West from Flying Wild Hog and Focus Entertainment has been delayed from September 20th to November 22nd. So again, not a huge delay, but still.
I'm fine with this, because it means I will have time to actually play it if we can get it.
Rupier's mentioning that there was a fire at the Nintendo headquarters in Kyoto.
Oh? I didn't
Jacob,
hear
are you
that.
Blowing your nose on mic?
Yes.
I was, but this headset is supposedly turned off when I flip it up, so apparently not. That's cool. Hello?
We can hear you.
Oh, all right. Y'all just fucking decided to be silent. Like
I was laughing my ass off. I don't know what you heard.
I heard nothing.
Really? Yeah, we heard the very beginning of your laugh, and then it went gone. Yeah.
Weird. Oh, well. The Unity board rejected a $17.5 billion offer of a buyout from, what was the company? I forgot to write it down.
I forgot. Yeah, but I heard about that too.
Yeah, it was apparently a unanimous decision from the board.
AppLovin.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Who I have no fucking clue who they are.
Yeah. So the Unity board rejected it and it's not happening. Regarding the number 17, Elden Ring sold 17 million copies in about 6 months.
Nice.
Yeah, so great. Elden Ring is doing good. Good shit. Wave Race 64 joining the Nintendo Switch Online lineup tomorrow.
Nice.
So that's some good news. Multiverse has announced two new characters are on the way, Black Adam and Stripe from Gremlins.
No idea.
I mean, well, Black Adam's the character from Shazam.
Well, I know
the
that
movie's
one.
Coming out soon, and Stripe is from the Gremlins movies.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
Well, I know, but Aki was like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I still don't know who that is.
I wonder if the whole Embracer buying Lord of the Rings is why Gandalf is no longer rumored for multiverses.
Probably. They don't know. They probably couldn't come to an agreement or don't think they'll be able to come to an agreement. I wouldn't be
shocked.
Which
is a bummer. I was looking forward to Gandalf. I thought he'd be a great addition to the game. But oh well. Slime Rancher 2 is arriving September 22nd to Steam, Epic, and Series X and S.
Nice.
That's right around the corner. Tiger Woods is officially the cover athlete for PGA 2K23. So there's some sports ball news. We're going to have a lot of sports ball next week.
Yeah, we are.
Do I have to be on next week?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shit.
Of course you'd. Why wouldn't you?
Did you assign Aki any sports ball games?
No.
No, I wouldn't take them.
Too bad. Well, what if they were like sports ball, like visual novels or
probably
sports
still
ball
not.
Hentai? Like Nick's Locker Room VR.
It really depends if it was a hentai game. That really just depends on what I had to do. Because if I had to actually play the game, I'm not interested.
You'd think you would have picked that up by now.
No, not at all.
Jesus. Thimber and Chad
sitting there like, I wonder what this game is. Oh my god, there's sex. Next game. Oh my god.
Speaking of shitty things, did you hear about the one modder who removed the pride flags from Spider-Man on PC and uploaded the mod on like a puppet account so that his main account wouldn't get in trouble?
Well, they banned him though on Nexus.
Oh yeah,
mods.
They found out who it was and banned both accounts anyway, but
Yeah, and
that's
then they posted, if you want to remove these from the game, then just delete your account.
Yeah.
It's like,
Their response was so fucking good. Oh, I love
that,
their response.
I think that was the only time where a company has actually stood behind the pride flag. It's like, if this had happened on a Walmart website, Walmart wouldn't have done it.
fucking thing. We all know it.
Yeah, they're pretty much, we're making our decision. If you don't agree with it, we don't give a shit. Go elsewhere. We're not letting you spread your bullshit rhetoric here.
That made me so happy.
Yeah. Love it. Private Division has entered a partnership to create a new Middle Earth game. I wonder how that's going to go with Embracer. I wonder if that's already in the plan, like already.
I mean, it's already, I mean, it's gotta be, I mean, cause otherwise they wouldn't have announced it.
I mean, it was announced before Embracer announced their news.
Well, they did say that they would continue working with.
I just wonder if this is like, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
I just hope it's a single player game, because I'd love to play a single player one of these games, because I haven't played any of them before.
I'm so bummed that with the backward compatibility program done, they're never going to bring Lord of the Rings War in the North to current gen.
Is that the one where you could play as all the different characters from the from the movies?
I thought those
War in the North was the RPG. Like the action. Well,
there were
RPG.
A few RPGs.
Well, the one for 360.
Oh.
Yeah.
I liked Lord of the Rings Conquest. That was pretty good. I mean, it was just like, it was Star Wars Battlefront, but with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
See, I like, the only ones I've played are the Shadow of War and Shadow of Mordor. Those are the only ones I've played, and I love
the
them.
The EA game for Return of the King was really good. I thought the one for Two Towers was complete shit.
Well, that was on, what, original Xbox?
Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually one game I wouldn't mind, like, buying digitally. Like, I kind of steer clear of old Xbox games at this point, but, yeah, that's one I'd actually pick up again.
I mean, there's really not a lot of original Xbox games that are playable on the series, so not like there's a huge library. There's, what, like, 50? That's it?
Is that it?
There's that many?
I don't know the exact number. I know it's not a lot.
Hmm.
Oh, well. Last bit of news I have, Planet of Lana has been delayed to 2023. It will launch on Game Pass, though.
What kind of game is that?
I don't remember. Do you know how much news I had this week? I don't remember shit.
I always assume you know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, not at all.
You're the host. Stupid. Out of all of us, you're the only one who should know everything.
Oh, this looks like an Aki game.
Okay.
Planet of Lana. A planet that used to be a place of undisturbed balance between human nature and animal has now become something else entirely. The disharmony that had been in the making for hundreds of years has finally arrived in the form of a faceless army. But this is not a story about war. This is a story about vibrant, beautiful planet and a journey to keep it that way. Planet of Lana is a cinematic puzzle adventure coming to Xbox and PC. In 2022. Incorrect. It is coming in 2023. So they did not update their website. So there you go.
Okay.
Puzzle, cinematic puzzle that. Adventure. I told you it was an hockey game.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. What news do you two have?
De nada.
Nothing. Jacob, what about you?
Pac-Man, the movie watch. They just announced Pac-Man the movie coming from what the crap was it? Wayfarer Studios. The project will be based on an original idea from Chuck Williams, who wrote Sonic the Hedgehog, of Lightbeam Entertainment. And that's about it. That's all that they've said so far.
Wonderful.
But we're getting a Pac-Man movie.
I'm not as excited about that as for the Sonic movies.
Yeah, no, that's because Pac-Man's kind of fucking boring.
Yeah.
As a character, he's kind of shit.
I don't know. I mean, my kids like the cartoon shows, the like the Ghostly Adventures.
Yeah, because there's ghosts in it.
Well, wasn't there ghosts in the previous ones?
Oh,
not
like spooky ghosts. I watched the one from the 80s. what other news? What else you got?
The only other thing I got is that there's Pokemon cards again over at McDonald's in the Happy Meal, provided that they don't give you Space Jam 2 toys.
I think everyone would rather the fucking Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who wants toys for a movie that's over a year old now? And also Space Jam.
Yeah. All right. We ready to dive into reviews?
Yeah.
All right, Jacob, you're not going first. You gotta wait one out. Aki, you're gonna start with Way of the Hunter, developed by Nine Rocks Games, published by THQ Nordic, released August 16th on Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Become the new owner of a hunting lodge nestled among gorgeous habitats and rich animal populations. Explore vast open world environments and hunt with a premium selection of firearms. Enjoy the perfect hunt on your own or with friends and co-op. Aki, tell us about your time with Way of the Hunter.
Okay. In this game, you play as River. He has decided to go to his grandparents' house out in the middle of fucking nowhere in order to help with their lodge that they have and to help people get the food they want from ethically sourced butchering of animals.
Ethically hunted, they say.
Yes, that's what it is. And so you decided to take your time out of your life to come and do this because your grandfather had something wrong with him, and I don't know where the fuck his grandmother is. And you know, you get there and you immediately start to go hunting. You constantly get little updates on what else to do, usually because you either get an email from somebody saying, "Hey, I need this, can you get it?" Or because you find some note or phone call or something from your grandfather saying, "Hey, I need you to do this." And it is very much a hunting game. You have to sneak up on animals. Their senses can catch you at quite a distance, either because they hear you, because they see you, or because they smell you, which sucks. makes that game so fucking hard. And yeah, it's really fucking hard. At least it's been really hard for me. Joe seems to have had a much easier time with it.
Not really. I'm like, my biggest issue is it says rich animal populations, and I can walk for 10 minutes and not see anything. Like, not like walk, run, or anything, but like on my knees, crouch walking. I could go half the map and not see a fucking thing. And I don't know why. I'm walking along the creek. Deer love the creek. It's noisy, so there shouldn't be any of my noise affecting things because of the noise of the creek. I don't see anything.
Yeah, I've had the same problem.
I found more animals when I was driving the Jeep just looking to open up all the fast travel points than I did when I was legitimately trying to find animals. And you can run over animals.
It gives you really, really bad sell value for them, though.
Yeah.
Did you kill the animal and you sell them? Because I ran one over finally. there's also another bad thing about the game. If you kill any of the female animals, it lowers the population further.
Really?
Mm-hmm. After I ran over an animal, it was a female deer, and it told me, "Hey, yeah, you kill females and the population will drop." I'm like,
oh shit,
motherfucker. Yeah. However, if you kill the males, for some reason, the population grows. I don't know.
Huh.
Doesn't have to make sense. It is what it is. But the thing is, the only animals I can really find are fucking pheasants. That's it. That's the only thing I can regularly find in this entire fucking game.
I had such a hard time finding pheasants, too. Like, because by the time I would notice them, they already fly away.
Yeah, I walk around. In this game, there's a mode called Hunter Mode that you can click on, and it's kind of like the Eagle Vision in Assassin's Creed. When you're close enough to animals, it will tell you with little bubbles, "Oh, there's some of these over here." And that helps you.
Or like there's noise from here, or there's a pile of poop over here that a deer left behind that you can track. Footprints, stuff like that.
Yeah. And the thing about footprints is you want to follow those, because you will find all the different places where the animals go. And in your mini map, you'll see the actual animal icon, and you can click on it, and it'll show you all the different places that grouping will go, which is really useful, and I found that out not too long ago, actually. And, that didn't help me the fuck at all. I spent over an hour trying to get all the locations for one thing done, and to find the fucking things, and I never found them. It is very hard to find animals in this. It is not richly populated the fuck at all. I don't care what they say.
I would have loved to see like a true rich population where I would have an easier, like, I know it's not supposed to be easy to hunt animals, but this is a video game. I want to see something so I can actually attempt to shoot it. Like when I finally have gotten animals, like I have to be like 300 yards away before I could take a shot or else they run.
Yeah, and I can't even hit them from that distance.
So I'm using a friggin' sniper with 14x scope, and I'm trying like hell to get a kill shot on this animal. And at that distance, I don't feel comfortable going for a heart shot. I gotta go for a headshot.
Yeah, I haven't even been able to unlock any of the better scopes because I can't find any fucking big game animals to shoot.
Yeah.
Near the beginning of the game, you have certain areas where they're like, hey, yeah, you need to go here and get this. And at that point, that area is wildly populated. At least it was for me, because one of them was hunt a deer. It wanted a specific type of deer. I could not find that type, but I had a fuck ton of other ones. It was very well populated. I killed one. It took me a while to do, because they kept hearing me and running off like little bastards. But after I completed that mission, that area, I've never seen another fucking animal anywhere in that first starting area at all, even though it says that there's animals there fucking constantly.
No.
So I would like it to be more populated, because as Joe said, yes, it shouldn't be easy, but I should be able to see fucking animals. I mean, for fuck's sake.
You could select difficulty levels. Even on the easiest difficulty, they run so early. Unless I'm in my Jeep, then they run into me.
Yeah, they're dumb.
I have a really good clip of a deer running directly in front of me.
Yeah, like real deer. but with what we were saying with how lowly populated it is, since that very first mission where it told you, hey, you need to go kill these, and I saw a bunch of them during that mission, I've seen deer once outside of that, and I've played about 15 hours into this fucking game, if not more.
Oh, I checked your hours. You have like over 25 hours in this game.
Yeah. I've seen deer one other fucking time.
It's ridiculous how much time you have in this game. And it's, they need more population in the game. Like, let me be able to find animals, because otherwise the game is really solid. It has a great foundation. The shooting mechanics work great. The visuals,
it has bullet drop, which is nice.
Yeah, the visuals for the most part are pretty good. You'll get some pop in here or there when you're driving in a Jeep. If you hit like a new area, everything will pop out and textures will just pop back in. But you see that in a lot of games, so I'm not going to hold that against it.
I found a really funny thing that happens. If you've gone really far away from your home base and then fast travel to it, almost every time I did that, I fell through the map. It was fantastic.
I'm going to have to try that.
Thankfully, I could immediately just go back in and fast travel and it'd be fine. just the ground did not load in for anything. I just fell right through and it was great.
Yeah. So $40, what are your thoughts on this? What do you think of the game?
I like the concept behind it, but since I haven't been able to find any goddamn animals other than the pheasants, which give you like $1 or $2 per kill, and the highest scope costs almost $5,000 and everything else costs a couple $1,000s a piece. Since I can't find any fucking animals, I can't recommend it because it's a slog. Oh, it's going to take me another 30, 40 fucking hours to afford a better scope that I'll be able to use to kill more things worth $1 or $2.
No. Ooh,
not fun.
If there were more big animals in the game, at least more population that don't run, like if you're a half mile near it, I think the game has a lot of potential. It just,
yeah.
I'm not really feeling it. I'm having fun with it, and I want to go back and play it more, but I feel like I'm wasting my time because I can't find anything to shoot.
Yeah. If they had more population, this would be something I would suggest to people. But since I've literally played, you said 25 or so hours, and I've seen deer one time, and they've only ran away from me once, because it does tell you when they run away. They've ran away from me once, and I've seen them once. Twice have I been remotely close to deer, and I've gone through areas that specifically are supposed to have a ton of fucking deer. And it's infuriating at that point, because it's like, there are no animals. It's not richly populated at all. There's fucking nothing. I can find fucking pheasants for goddamn days. And I can occasionally find a fucking badger that I don't really want to kill, because it don't give you any goddamn money either. But I can't find any of the elk. I can't find any of the mule deer. I can't find any of the white-tailed deer, all three of which are in the same general vicinity, that there's supposed to be a ton of them, that I've seen like 8 or 9 images on there even, which are, you know, hey, here's where one group is, here's where another is, here, so on and so forth. And I've walked through the entire area 25 fucking hours or so. Nothing. And it just, that ruins the game for me. Like, I would have fun with the game if I could play the game. Yeah, because so far all I'm doing is walking continuously to do nothing for hours. No. At a time. And I'm just like, that's not fun.
Which,
that,
by the way, really it sucks. Is cruel to have perks in the game that require you to crawl prone for 7 kilometers.
Yeah, that's...
You move hours so slow when you're prone. Like, not the knee crouch walk, it like laying down, crawling. You got to go 7 kilometers to get a perk. And you need all the perks for all the achievements.
Yep, there's an achievement for having all 40 or 41 perks, yeah. And the bad thing is, I haven't been able to get anything towards any of these, because so many of them require you to kill the fucking animals that I can't fucking find any.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
Group here seems we're complaining about the game being too realistic. Yeah, I guess we are, but it's still a video game. Like, I want... Well, it's not like I'm asking the animals to run in front of me so I can use an Uzi to mow down hundreds of them. I just want the opportunity to be able to get 100 yards away and take a shot without it hearing me, even though I'm crouch walking.
And I regularly sleep for days at a time in the game in hopes to spawn the little motherfuckers, because they're supposed to go along this pathway. And I've found the pathways for many of them just by following their tracks and finding all the different areas where they stop. And nothing has spawned in any of them. And they're supposed to spawn at all of them so you can shoot things.
out of curiosity, and I'm asking this because I haven't played the game and all this other kind of stuff, like, is it possible that, like, they've picked up your scent and know that you're in the area?
They...
Like, I mean, like, does the game have stuff that you, like, you know, can you pour deer urine all over yourself so you smell like deer?
Surprisingly, no. But you can see where the scent is in your mini map and how far it goes. And if a deer senses you and runs away, it will tell you that you scared it. No. And that's only happened to me one time.
I mean, I've seen them run away without getting the pop-up notification that I spooked them, so they will just run. So,
oh, that's irritating.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, next game to talk about tonight, we are doing an update on Arcade Paradise, developed by Nosebleed Interactive, published by Wired Productions, released August 11th for $19.99. Jacob, what did you want to say about Arcade Paradise?
So, usually after I've reviewed a game on here, I don't return to them. Like, but there was something about Arcade Paradise that was just, like, nagging me after the review, that I was just like, yo, you should go back and play that some more. Like, there's probably still more to come to this game. And holy crap, there is. Like, all right, so yeah, you're gonna have to like get through like an 8 to 10 hour slog like initially, because again, you are building up your laundromat, you are building up your arcade, and you have to earn the money to do all sorts of stuff. By the way, I found out that there's actually a Konami code for the title screen, which then grants you like a ton of shit.
Cool.
I've been meaning to enter it in, except like I get too invested in my day, and then like I don't want to like actually like quit out of the game and fuck up and like screw all my progress and stuff. So anyway, as I've been going through this game, I've been learning more about it. I thought that the character is unisex because your name is Ashley and your sibling's name is Leslie. And like, I just figured like they picked two names that like could either be boy or girl, like either way. Apparently it seems like it's actually girls. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. But so not only are there arcade games that you can buy for this, and like as you expand your arcade, you get a lot more options. Like there's tank games. You eventually can get like a DDR game. And one of your expansions will actually bring in a pool table, which I've had limited success with some of this stuff because the game is really not that clear on games like darts. Because like it should just be the first one to zero, like and get on the dot for zero is the winner. I have actually yet to still finish a game of darts because it keeps resetting me at the end of it, which I thought was a little weird. And ended up having me read up the rules of darts more than I ever wanted to, just to make sure I wasn't fucking up. And I'm finding the same kind of issue with pool. And it was nice that those got brought in. Now, there are also different goals on each arcade machine, and doing that, and of course, actually just being in the laundromat and playing the games, it actually increases the revenue because then everyone sees, oh, there's this guy playing a game and he's like fucking shit up. There are your daily tasks, which then earn you the pounds sterling, which then you can use to buy more music for the jukebox. Which, by the way, the game doesn't tell you that there's a fucking hopper in the jukebox. I just thought it was there for decoration. And then it's just like, hey, by the way, the hopper's full. There's $500 in there. And I was like, I'm sorry, fucking what? Like, so, hooray, I got $500. But yeah, so there's that. Shit, there was something. With the pound sterling, you can do all sorts of updates. Like you can walk faster, you can have better vision, you can hire the assistant manager and stuff like that. And early on, I wasn't focusing so much on those upgrades, and that was an error on my part because, like, holy crap, like you get those pounds sterling, you can buy those upgrades, and this game will run a hell of a lot smoother if you take the time to like complete all these simple tasks. So that being said, my hunch in my previous review was that like it seems like there's more to this game. Absolutely fucking right. And I actually now change my review of this to a try it to an absolutely buy it.
Nice.
My only issue with it is that it needs better explanation for some of the games and how they work and stuff like that. But other than that, yeah. Like,
well, so it is now a buy it.
Yeah, if you're willing to put in the work, you're gonna get like you're rewarded with a pretty decent simulator game with a ton of addictive arcade games in there. Like, I fucking love Attack Vector,
I thought your main problem with this was how grindy it was.
It is, but again, and the thing is, though, is that it is like starting up a business. You have to put in a shit ton of work at the very beginning to be able to like take a break later on. And this game's exactly like that. Like, pop in 10 hours of some hard ass work and also remember to do your fucking daily, like your daily goals so you can earn that the pound sterling to upgrade all your shit. And once you do that, like, it becomes hell of a lot more manageable.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, next game to talk about is Smash Boats Waterlogged Edition, developed and published by Smash House Games, released August 18th on Xbox One for $9.99, also available on the Switch with a new co-op update for $11.99. Xbox is a single-player only game at this time. Smash Boats is an action title inspired by the golden age of arcade gaming when players embarked on a common quest to conquer all the levels and add to their growing troves of unlockables. Smashing your way to the top may sound easy, but a sea of enemies, zany Mayday events and environmental obstacles galore block your path. So what are you waiting for? It's time to smash some boats. Exactly. Jacob, tell us about Smash Boats.
All right, so in this game, it's kind of set up kind of like a Twisted Metal kind of game, and you're plopped into this pool, and you have to take your boat, and you could choose what your boat's going to be, which it really doesn't matter that much. It's really what your special weapon is. Like one has like a shark that like jumps out and then like bites people. Like another one kind of has like a boxing glove kind of looking thing. They're all variations of pretty much like the same exact thing. It didn't really seem to matter which boat I chose. But anyway, so you plop down in this tub and you have multiple things that you have to do, mostly just kicking everyone else's ass that hops into the tub. When I say other people, I don't mean like actual people hopping into the tub. I'm talking about like other boats coming in, to your pool area.
Yeah.
And so you have to destroy them, and most people take like multiple hits. One of the neat things I thought that you could do that I thought was neat is that you could actually go underneath the water for a very small amount of time. And so if somebody was like heading right for you, if you aren't able to get out of the way necessarily, like right or left, you can hopefully go underneath them and then they'll just scoot right on by. I got pretty decent with that tactic, and so that was pretty fun. And then it's just like normal stuff. You pick up health, you pick up coins, you pick up, you know, just the stuff so you can earn upgrades and earn like new arenas to fight in. And like, it's fun. I mean, the controls aren't wonky. My issue came with the AI. I found it to be a tad bit difficult to deal with. I mean, it's not that it was never not fun, but it's just like I felt like I kept getting stuck in like the same areas over and over again. And also the fact that it's just right now it's only single player, and multiplayer may come to it later on. Honestly, this is a game that needed couch co-op at the very least from like right out the gate. It's fun in single player, but this would definitely be more fun with somebody to play with. And I just wish I could tone down the AI just a tad. I can see this being like a really fun party game on the Switch. But right now on the Xbox, it's kind of eh.
All right. Well, $10 on Xbox, $12 on the Switch. What are your thoughts on the two versions? I mean, we can't really talk too much about the multiplayer because we're reviewing it on Xbox, but it seems like you enjoyed the game. It just, you would enjoy it more with other people in it.
Right. That's the thing. And it's just like, and granted, for all I know, like, you know, multiplayer may not be that great on the Switch. I don't know. But like, if it had the inclusion of multiplayer, this would have been like a buy it. But it's like, I'm stuck in this like weird, like, cause it's like, I don't think you should just try it. But at the same time, I also want people to wait till there actually is like confirmed multiplayer in this. Like, do you understand where I'm coming from?
So the quote, what are you waiting for? Multiplayer.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, like this is like one of the few times where it's just like, you know, like, cause usually I'm like, oh, it's 2022. Why don't you have online multiplayer? Like at this point, I'm just like, why didn't you have any multiplayer? Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Well, hopefully it shows up soon.
If it does, like, I'm more than happy to return to this.
Yeah.
Because I'll definitely force my wife or my kids to play.
Nice. All right, next up is Tile Sweeper, developed and published by IEVO, released August 19th on Xbox for $7.49. Tile Sweeper is a well-known game minesweeper, but with stunning graphics. Jacob, tell us about Tile Sweeper.
Do you like Minesweeper? All right, well, that's pretty much what it is.
Yay.
All right, next game.
All
right, so pretty much what it is the graphics are nice to look at. The graphics are nice to look at, it means we designed like these like little rooms where everything is in. And then we're going to make all these wacky ass like designs with the tiles and mines. to make it so it's not just not like a normal rectangle that you used to play on Windows computers. Like, you can get ones where it's like there's a hole in the middle because like you have to go around like the edge of the building, or like the building is built as an X, and so like you have to like you then have to deal with like far different shapes and style, like custom games that you would normally deal with this kind of stuff. And so it's not bad. It's challenging as hell. Even on easy, I was just like, I'm getting smoked on this like ridiculously, like more than normal Minesweeper. Because
you suck.
Just because the level design, like it actually does make it a tad bit harder.
Oh, it makes it a lot harder, especially because you're not doing just 9x9 or 16x16. You have like blocks here, like, blocks that they are unique shapes.
And like honestly, part of what was frustrating for me is that like you could break a tile and it wouldn't necessarily like fall, or it would make it like difficult to see what the heck was around it. I found out that if you go into the settings, you can actually change it so that the tiles will break completely or disappear when you've clicked on them. So that does help a bunch. So if like you're having issues when playing it, it's, you know, just go into your settings and you can fix it. That being said, I mean, it's a Minesweeper game. I mean, do you like Minesweeper? If you do, then by all means, this is it's a pretty good game, and it looks nice.
Yeah,
and
it's got good graphics. It only has one theme right now, but they say later themes, new themes will become available later through DLC. So right now, while it might look kind of plain, hopefully we'll get some more variety in the visuals later down the line. I like that there are different layouts to Minesweeper. It makes it a distinct challenge when you have weird shapes that you have to figure out. It makes it harder to figure out when you're done or not, because sometimes, you know, it's like Minesweeper. Yeah. You hit an open spot and it clears out a gigantic area sometimes, and you might not realize that there's three blocks in the corner that you didn't pay attention to, and you're
right, or hidden behind a column or something like that.
I would love a traditional top-down view in this game instead of just the isometric view.
That's fair.
But $7.50 for 15 puzzles, each with three different difficulty levels, and then they have the three classic levels of 9x9, 16x16, and 30x16. $7.50, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good deal for what it is. Especially because,
and the best part, you know, the best part,
maybe, I don't know,
fucked up achievement values.
Oh yes.
You'll get 4 points for this. You'll get 16 points for this. You'll get 1 point for that.
I hate this game already.
Fucking love when developers do that. I love it. Have fun with your achievement values. That gets bonus points in my book. A lot of people hate it. A lot of people are like, I'm not going to play your game because it makes my score end in a 3. Shut the fuck up and complete the game if it's that big of a deal.
No.
Yes.
Oh, I refuse.
Well, too bad. We're going to strap you into a chair, Clockwork Orange style, and make you play.
Yeah, we're going to make you play Tile Sweeper while eating hers.
Fuck you. I was actually about to say, and we'll make you eat Middlesworth chips.
Next game to talk about is Chameneon, developed by Burning Goat Studios, published by Cubite Interactive, released August 18th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $3.99. Chameneon is a 2D platformer runner game with an incredible, colorful, and beautiful pixel art. In the game, a virus has infected the cyberspace, and it's now up to you to initiate Protocol Chameneon, surf on the neon lines in cyberspace, and defeat the virus before it's too late. Jacob, tell us about Chameneon.
So this one, you know, as you said in the description, it's a 2D platform runner game, and so you do not stop moving in this game, and you just have to follow along these little tracks and, you know, hop, flip, jump, whatever you want to call it, over to the next thing and hop in between certain areas. Very similar to for me, for my point of reference, this it would essentially be like an on rails version of Super Meat Boy. I guess it would be the easiest way for me to describe it, minus all the blood. It's just, you know, this one's just like a little chameleon guy who then like goes off screen and it's like whatever. But anyways, so you have to avoid all these kind of dangers, which are usually like these like sparks on the line. There are enemies throughout, but the game does take some time to give you some hand-holding at the beginning, but very quickly you better learn fast on how to manage everything. And one of the things I thought was kind of neat is how you could move in between lines. Like, so like all of a sudden the background, like if you... Like, let's say you've got like a string of spikes on the blue thing and there's no fucking way that you could jump it. There might be like an orange or a pink line that you can hop over to, and all that stuff fades into the background. And then you're hopping on the other line. And then when something, you know, when there's more obstacles or enemies in the way, you hop back over to the other line and then just keep going on your way. Very similar to kind of like Ali Ali World. With like multiple ways that you can go through stuff. And it's just, yeah, I thought it was a pretty fun game. It's one of those games where you're going to figure out pretty quickly whether you're going to like it or not.
I didn't.
Like, you what?
I didn't.
Oh, I wasn't a fan of this one. It's not exactly my cup of tea. It's definitely aimed for more of those people who enjoy like speed running. And that kind of stuff, and just like figuring out like crazy fucking ways to like fling yourself like across the screen, and beat it in like the quickest time possible.
Which, by the way, their quickest time possible times are crazy.
Oh, I can imagine.
Did you get any achievements in the game?
No. I've not gotten any achievements. I've been...
There's like 80 achievements in the game, one for each level, where you have to beat an ungodly speed run. Like, yeah. I can't figure out how to get the first stage.
The game is on PC as well. It's currently 99 cents on Steam through, like, the end of August. And I'm wondering if, like, those times are from people with, like, mouse and keyboard and all that kind of shit.
I don't know. Like, it's got a great visual style to it. It's got a great vibe to it. I didn't connect with the gameplay.
For me, it's just like, if you like these kind of games, this is an absolute buy, especially at the price point.
Yeah, only $4.
Yeah, if you're not that sure on it, I would still say it's a try it.
It's a fuck it, why not at that point?
Yeah, it's $4. And honestly, I thought it was a pretty good game. It's just, it's not exactly my cup of tea.
Yeah.
These kind of things. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Jacob, that's it for you.
Thank God. Goodbye. I was about to say that.
Goodbye.
You did say. Okay. Well, now that
one. Goodbye.
That was rude as well.
And?
I don't know. I thought that she would be nicer. No. Will you stop?
Why should she be nicer?
I don't know.
How many times does she say something? You're like, shut up, shut up.
Because she's also like,
shut up, shut up, shut up.
No, you shut up.
You shut up.
You shut up.
You shut up.
Okay, it's my review time.
Oh my God, Joe, I want to make out with you so much.
Next game to talk about. All right, we're moving on. Next game to talk about tonight is A Tale of Paper Refolded, developed by Open House Games and No Moss, published by Digirati, released August 19th on Xbox Series X and S and PC for $19.99. Tale of Paper Refolded is a puzzle platformer.
You said release 19th?
Yeah.
What day is it?
The 18th.
So release is 19th.
Oh my God, whatever.
You're the one who always gets on me anytime I make the incorrect tense of a word or something. I get to do it for once.
I'm going to delete all this.
Oh, fuck you.
A Tale of Paper Refolded is a puzzle platformer that tells the story of Line, a magical character made of paper who uses origami to change shape, transform into a frog, rocket, bird, and more as Line embarks on an emotional journey to fulfill the dream of its creator. Aki, what is going on in A Tale of Paper Refolded that releases August 19th?
Good boy. This is a puzzle platformer. It very much reminds me of Little Nightmares, if any of you have played either of those two games. It's very similar in everything other than the fact that this isn't a horror-based game. You play as this little paper something. And you go around trying to escape Roombas and gaining new powers. His story is a good chunk of the main game. Then you get to play as another character that I don't know the name of. It's another one of him. I thought it was like a soul or something had gotten into it. I have no idea how these pieces of paper have come to life. And then you play like another three levels as that character. And then there's DLC, which is yet another character for three missions. So, yeah, you get a lot here. The refolded part is that it's added DLC and I think fixed some issues. I've really liked it. It's semi-realistic looking. The colors aren't quite right for, you know, realism, but everything else generally kind of is. Each area is a completely new area. Like, the first section of the game is you're in a house. Second is, like, you're in a sewer or something. Then you're on roofs, et cetera, et cetera. So you got a good variety of places to go to. There are collectibles. There's one or two in every level, I think, is what it is. They unlock pictures in the extras menu, just a little one singular picture, page of pictures. You don't get to zoom in on it or anything, but it gives you a little bit of a backstory, I guess, to the game. Kinda, sorta, not really, because it's like eight pictures and that's it. And they don't make a lot of fucking sense, so... but yeah, the puzzles in it are really good. Lots of them are, you know, just trying to figure out how to get yourself across to different areas. Like, one, there might be, like, a key underwater, but if you go in the water, you're made out of paper, so that's a big no-no. So you have to figure out how to drain the water, or others might be, oh, you turn into a paper airplane. Now you have to figure out how to get up to this higher area, because... your paper, you don't have an engine or anything, so it's not like you can go up. Stuff like that. There are some ways for your character to die. Obviously, falling in water is one of them. There's also, in one of the levels, there's this laser-looking thingy. Some of the walls have, like, red-hot, you know, furnace pieces or radiator pieces, whatever, that if you touch, you'll burn. Roombas, you have to run away from Roombas because they are a terror, because they are maybe a little faster than you, and they'll kill you if they reach you, because they're Roombas, and you are technically garbage. can't even really argue with it. You are loose, crumpled up paper. You are technically garbage. So I don't have a lot to say about this, because the game is very quick.
How long is it?
I don't know exactly how long, but I completed almost the entirety of it in like overnight.
Wow.
Currently, there is a glitch in it, right now in the DLC, in one of the missions you cannot continue. So I have not been able to 100% finish the game, but I've beaten the main game at the very least. And I've gotten about halfway through the DLC.
Hopefully that'll be fixed in a day one patch or something.
Yes, I did contact the devs, and they said they'd let the people porting it know, and they'd have it fixed by the day it came out. I was hoping it'd be before the show so I could finish it, but life happens.
Yeah, we could always give an update next week, but as it stands, the game's $20. What do you think of it?
I'm totally for this. I think everyone would rather enjoy this. It's a cute game.
Cool. All right, next up is Lost in Play, developed by Happy Juice Games, published by Joystick Ventures, released August 10th on Steam for $19.99. Go on a feel-good adventure with a brother and sister as they explore dreamscapes and befriend magical creatures. Lost in their imagination, Toto and Galma stick together and solve puzzles to journey back home. This whimsical puzzle adventure game will make you feel like you're playing a cartoon. Aki, what is Lost in Play?
Okay, this is two children and their excessively overactive imagination. At first, you play as the younger sister, and you know, first you're in a, I don't know what it's called. What's the opposite of a nightmare?
A dreamscape, I guess?
Yeah, you're in that. And when you wake up, you're like, now you have to figure out how to wake your brother up so y'all can go about your day. And then you have to find a way to get to bug your brother so he'll play with you. And then it's all pretty much fantasy after that point. It's just the two of you playing a game, and then trying to figure out how to get home because you've somehow managed to get lost. it's great. This game, I don't have a lot to say about the story beyond that, because this game you can beat in, like, I think they said a typical playthrough of this is like 2 to 4 hours. I am not particularly good at these games, and I think I still beat it in about 4 hours. like, I'm bad at these games. And yeah, it's really cute. I really like the art style. It has this nice drawn cartoon art style that's just really pretty. And I believe all of this is hand-drawn, just 100% hand-drawn.
And, yeah, it looks awesome. I love the visuals in this. Got a really cool cartoony vibe to it.
Yeah. And there's a hint thing, and you don't screw up any achievements by using it, when you get confused and you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And I used it a lot because of that. It's not even on a recharge or anything. You just hit it anytime you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I have no fucking clue. Generally, though, thankfully, lots of the puzzles are very self-evident what you do. Like, you're like, oh, I need to build this flying machine. Well, these are the parts I need. Here's this giant imaginary place. I look around until I find said fucking items. And usually it just involves figuring out how to get those items. Like, oh, this might be up on a clothesline. But the clothesline is attached to something that can pump out water. So you just got to get it to where it pumps water out hard enough to reach a bucket that's also hanging on it to pull the line down. So, you know, you have to go about just figuring out what combination gets it to be as strong as you need it a few different times to get the item off the clothesline. So, you know, they're not overly complicated. This is something your kids could play. If any of you have kids, your kids could play this and they'd be fine. Yeah, this is an all ages type game, I believe. And yeah, it's super cute. I really like it. It asked me what I wanted the game to be in, what language I wanted the game to be in, and then literally no one in the game says anything, and I don't think anything is actually written in words. It's all pictures, so I'm not sure what the fuck that was about, but maybe the menus or something? I never bothered to look at the menu.
Oh, geez. Well, the game's $20. What do you think about it?
Again, I'm also really for this one. It's super cute, and I think anyone would like it. And if you have kids, I think this is a must-buy.
Cool. I might have to give this one a go. Hopefully they bring it to console.
It's so cute. Oh, my God. If it comes to console, I'll review it again, happily.
Nice. All right, one final game to talk about tonight is called Voyage, developed by Venturous, published by Rattlake Games, released August 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $14.99. Voyage is a cinematic adventure game capturing the essence of shared exploration. Whether you decide to play by yourself or cooperatively, the journey will revolve around two survivors in search for answers of a long-forgotten past. Embark on a voyage, unravel a mystery, and find a way home together. Aki, what's going on in Voyage?
Okay. In Voyage, you play as this red-headed girl, I believe, wearing, I think, a dinosaur mask or something, and a young blonde boy, I assume. And you're trying to basically escape from this planet to get home. I don't know how you got here or why you're here, but the two of you seem to be trying just to get home. And this is mostly a walk to the right puzzle game. Sometimes you have to drag things in order to get areas to open up, or you have to push some buttons, not in any specific order. You just have to push all the buttons to open up an area, stuff like that. It's very simple, and you can beat this game in about 2 hours. And that's it. It's very pretty. I'll give it that. It has a very weird art style. I believe this one is also all hand-drawn. And yes, it is. It is hand-drawn, the entire thing is. And you can tell that it is just by how everything moves and looks. It's very pretty. It looks like someone just took a... like they had been drawing for years in this diary or something, and now they've just turned it into a game. It's very pretty. And it's not difficult. It is very easy. I don't know if I would hand this necessarily to children, but it is simple enough that they could solve it, because literally you just walk to the right side of the screen constantly. That's really all you do in it. There's some minor puzzles, but they're not really puzzles. They're drag this and open your pathway. The end. Again, I can't tell you a lot about the story because it's only 2 hours long. That's it I have for that one.
All right. Sadly. Well, it's $15. What are your thoughts?
You might be seeing a pattern I have today. I think this is great. I think everyone would like it as long as you don't mind walking right a lot. If you have problems walking right, then maybe not for you, but most games aren't for you at that point. Especially if they're 2D. I think this is a very cute game. It's very, very beautiful. And it has a bittersweet ending, so I'm all for it.
Cool. Works for me. All right, we're done. Yay, mm-hmm. Finished. That's it for this episode. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out and keeping us company. Thanks to Jacob, I guess, for fucking whatever the fuck he does.
No thanks to him at all. He doesn't deserve it.
Shout out to Embracer Group for giving us a lot of news to talk about tonight.
Yep. Even though I don't think it's necessarily good that they keep buying every goddamn thing, but
We'll see where this leads. I am curious. I am very curious to see how far this goes with Embracer. But
personally, I'm just getting concerned because so much of our media is starting to be controlled by just a few fucking people. Like, most of the TV media that most Americans consume, either owned by Disney or Warner Brothers at this point in time.
Yeah.
That is what 90% of everything you watch is from one of them, and they don't have to compete.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. I'm worried about how games are going with just the handful of companies starting to buy everything, but that's capitalism at work. So yeah,
that's a conversation for a whole other podcast because this episode's over. So give me some final words.
Amalama ding dong.
That was terrible.
I know. I have nothing.